Take your lessons from this week, if you would. Your questions. Question number one. Is there anyone who can answer to God for you? Romans 14, 11 and 12. Could I see a hand? Ma'am? Grace? Mrs. Moore? Okay. Okay, so the first part of the question, who can answer to God for you? Every tongue shall confess, verse 11, every tongue shall confess to God. Then the second half of that question, can you answer to God for anyone else? And then verse 12, which is what you said, that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Not our parents, not our parents' religion, what we do. Genesis 1:27, we read that man was created in the image of whom? God. Was man created with the right to choose? We all believe that man has a free will. Yes, man was given the right to choose. He saw Adam in the garden, made the wrong pick, made the wrong choice. But he had the free will. We all believe in the free will of man. That's what makes our praise so special. The Lord could call the rocks to cry out. They'd be doing it at his command. We would be doing it out of our love. 1 Timothy 2:5. What is the only way to gain access to God? Kathy? Amen. Very good. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Matthew 22:21. Christ spoke about government and the church. Did he regard them as operating side by side? Or did he regard them as having power over the other? Dan? Side by side. We would say, as the Lord said, bring me a coin whose inscription is on it, Caesar's. And the Lord said, there, render therefore unto Caesar the thing that is Caesar's, and unto God things that are God. John 10:9, 14:6. People have the right to believe what they choose. But does this mean that there is more than one way to heaven? Kelly Dye. Yeah. And they can die and go to hell because they made the wrong choice. But that is their choice. 10:9. I am the door by me. If any man enter in. And then 14:6, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:16, Philippians 2:15. How are believers to have influence in this dark world in which we live? Tracy? Amen. We're the light of the world. Okay, very good. Very good. As Brother Kelly says, we do have one more lesson. Work your questions. Work them early in the week. That way God has time to reinforce that in your life throughout the week. Work them early in the week and let the Lord's word speak to you. Our lesson today, as we look into, notice on the front cover of your book, it says a revolution back to the Bible, away from the traditions of men, away from much of what churches are today, but back to the Bible. Becoming a not a 21st century church, but a first century church. Becoming a first century church. The free will of man. Author today using the word soul liberty. Soul liberty. Soul liberty is not a gift from the government. It is a gift from God. Man was created by God with the right to choose and with the responsibility to give an account to God for his choices. The first century church understood that they were to be salt and light in the midst of this dark world and to use their influence to point others to the Savior. Our lesson aims today, aims in our lesson today, to understand that God has created man so that every person is individually accountable to God and will stand before God someday. To see that soul liberty is a gift from God, doesn't come from our government. To learn that the only way we have access to God is through the person of Jesus Christ. Then to understand that since we cannot force our faith on others, the only tool we have is a tool of influence. Tool of influence. To realize that we as Christians must live godly lives that uplift Jesus Christ so that the lost may be drawn to him. Then to show that the more churches become like the world, the less influence they'll have. It seems like churches today want to become like the world to bring the people of the world in. The people of the world already have plenty of the world in their lives. That's not what they need. They need something different. They need something different when they walk through those doors. They need something different. In your lessons, personal accountability to God. Personal accountability to God. You and I are personally responsible to God for our actions, for our thoughts. We are personally accountable. Yes, we have the right to make choices. We certainly all agree with the free will of man. But we are accountable for those. Romans 14:12, our memory verse for the week. Romans 14:12. Who'd like to say that? Romans 14:12. Go ahead, brother. Amen. Amen. Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Amen. That's a good verse. Hang on to that one. Review that one. Since you all got your pens in your hand, write this verse down. Hebrews 12:13. Just jot that down. That's an extra memory verse this week. How would you like to have two this week? Hebrews 12:13. We'll go through it in our lesson. I'd just like you to write that one down. It's amazing how much of God's word as we go over it, and he'll speak to us through those verses. In our lessons, the Bible, it's the word of God. It's a sole authority for all matters of faith and practice. We are people of the book. As we see here in Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. Romans 14, 11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We are personally accountable to God. The liberty of our souls does not rest upon the legal documents of our nation. This liberty is rooted in the Word of God. The free will of man is not because of our First Amendment, although our First Amendment is certainly a blessing to us. It states that Congress shall make no laws. What's the next word? Respecting, thank you. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. First Amendment. 10 amendments to the Constitution came in with it, right? Were not added in later. They were part of it. They were part of the settling discussion, or else the document wasn't going to be signed. This had to be there. This wasn't added on later. This was part of it. We're thankful for that. How many of you get Voice of the Martyrs into your home? You guys get that? Oh, man. VOM, go on the internet. Get it coming to your home. There's many countries out there. You have this Bible, you're going to jail. Just because you have this Bible, you're going to go to jail. Man. There's many countries out there that the government will support you to have this document, God's Word, but the people of the nation will burn your house, will do everything to you. Even though the governments may try to stop them, we have liberty here that many nations do not have. Nobody's going to bust down those doors and say, you're all under arrest. They're not going to come in with weapons. We do have freedom in America, and I'm thankful for that. But that First Amendment is not what gives man soul liberty. It's God's Word that does. This individual freedom of the soul is inherent in man's nature as God created him. Man is responsible for his choices, but he is free to choose. We understand from the New Testament that it is never right to exercise control or coercion over the souls of men. Scripture places the church and the state side by side, each operating independently of the other. This means there is freedom in the church and there is freedom in the state. Each is sovereign within its sphere. God has given each of them, Matthew 22:21. Turn with me there, Matthew 22:21. Matthew 22:21. They say unto him, Caesar then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. We are to render to the government those things which are the government's. But we are not to render to the government those things that are God's. Governments have had a problem with that all along. Paul and the disciples stood before governments that did not understand that. That told them they could not go out and preach. Told them they could not continue to speak. That beat them, that tortured them, that imprisoned them. Many governments have not understood that. Thankfully to God, our government does. And what a blessing it is for us. First century church taught personal accountability to God. Genesis 1:27, we're created in the image of God. Man was created in the image of God. When God created man, he created man capable of giving a personal account of himself to God. He gave man the right to choose. Man willingly chose to disobey the Lord. Man has a free will. John Bunyan, which brought us that famous work, Pilgrim's Progress. How many of us have read that, audioed it, listened to it, Pilgrim's Progress? Excellent. I've got it on CD if anybody wants to borrow it. What an excellent piece of work. John Bunyan brought before the court system, say, you have to work within the confines of the Church of England. And he says, I can't. He said, I can only proclaim this. I can't do it under any government. I can't do it under anything else. And they said, couldn't you just do it under their name? He says, I can't. They put him in prison for 12 years, and that's where he penned the Pilgrim's Progress. Spent 12 years in jail. He said at his hearing, man's religious views, or lack of them, are matters between his conscience and his God, and are not the business of the crown. And he went to jail for 12 years because he could not bow, because there was a difference there. The government didn't understand it. He certainly understood it, and the Lord blessed him and have blessed many of us with that work. We cannot force religion on anybody. Every person has a God-given right to believe anything he wishes to believe. However, this does not mean that he can be a Christian by believing in anything he wants. He has a right to believe. That doesn't mean he's going to go to heaven. Or he has a right not to believe. The only way of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The first century church was taught this by the Lord Jesus Christ in John 10 and John 14. The first century church, secondly, we see the first century church taught the priesthood of every believer. All who have trusted Christ as Savior enjoy the glorious privilege of the priesthood of the believer. We can access God through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We have direct access. We don't have to go somewhere and pray to a man. We pray directly to God. The traditions of men would have us believe that we need to pray to a man, and then he goes to God, or he becomes Christ. We've seen in the past 15 years where that led them down a very bad path. We are priests. We can go to the Father through Jesus Christ. We have direct access, the priesthood of the believer. 1 Peter 2:9. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. We have direct access. We don't have to go to any man. We have direct access ourselves. We can personally talk to God. We can take our needs to him. We have no merit of our own that makes us worthy to access God. But we can go to him at any moment through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our high priest, whoever liveth to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7:25. Then the first century church recognized the power of influence. The power of influence. As Paul stood before Agrippa, and Agrippa's final response to him was, what was it? Almost thou persuadest me. That's what we have. We have God's word, we go and we persuade. We don't force, we don't inflict punishment. We go and we proclaim to them the love of Jesus in their sin before a holy God. And then they make a choice. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. Turn with me there if you would, please. And again, I'd like that to be your second memory verse this week. Hebrews 12, 13. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Do we have influence on others? Yeah, we sure do. We can encourage others to live for the Lord, to do right. Or this awesome thought that you and I could turn someone away. Could turn someone away. The children. The grandchildren. Those around us. We have an influence on them. Hebrews chapter 12, talking about the race. Of course, Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter of faith. Last verse there saying, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete. Talking about that faith and coming into here and talking about running the race. And then it talks in verse 13, here we are running this race. And it says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame. You may turn off and you may be in sin here or be in sin there, and somebody may see you. And they get over there and they get caught up in it and they never make it back on the path. We need to keep the goal in mind, keep the vision in mind, and make straight paths for our feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Where does this teaching about personal accountability to God and the priesthood of every believer lead us? It leads us to realize the importance of the power of influence. This is a tool God has given us. This is what we're to win the lost. This is how we're to build the brother in the faith. Philippians 2:15. Turn with me if you would, please. Philippians 2:15. Philippians 2:15, that you might be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Philippians 2:15 talks about the presence of believers in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, perverse world. We're the light in the darkness. We sing a little song in Sunday schools. Do you know, O Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? So walk it and talk it and teach it and preach it and live it and give it and know it and show it. Many people might not pick up this book. They might not have it in their house, God's Word. Where are they going to learn it? They're going to learn it when your mouth opens. They're going to learn it when my mouth opens. That's how they're going to learn it. They're going to learn it when they see our lives. They see how we live, how we respond to events in our lives. That's how they're going to see it. They're going to see it through us. We're the light of the world. We've got to be that light in darkness. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Lord Jesus talked about letting your light shine. What is God teaching us? He's emphasizing our influence. He's emphasizing our influence. Let your light so shine. Our light, Jesus Christ is the light in this dark world. We have God's word. It's our final authority for all matters of faith and practice. This is the answer. Spurgeon, you keep hearing quotes from me of Spurgeon. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. One thing about scripture he says, and I love this. You know, you would think we have this book all of our lives. And yet somehow every day we pick it up, there's something new. It says, nobody ever outgrows scripture. This book widens and deepens with your years and with your growth. This book widens and deepens. It's new every morning. Every time we pick it up, it's right there. It's right where we are. And it's amazing. Because we do not force people to become Christians, we must understand the powerful tool of influence. Acts 26:28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me. Paul gave an account that day, a very thorough account of his salvation experience before kings, before many people that day. We must be separated to God from the world. We must live godly lives that lift up Christ so that people will come to him. We will never make a difference without willing to be different. We need to be willing to be different for the Lord. The world doesn't need more of the world when they come through these doors. They don't need more of the world when they work with us at work. That's not what they need. They need to see something different. They need to see Jesus Christ. Our influence. We can influence people to good. Hebrews 12:13. We can turn them out of the way. Our influence. It is Christ who makes us different. May the Lord help us to be unashamed of him. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We need to not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to proclaim his name. As we went through our previous book on soul winning, you know, you have your 3x5s, you have your memory verses in your pockets. Stick other stuff in there too. Stick that question in there. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? When you're doing your memory verses, have that question there so your eyes go across it. Then when you pick up the two girls that are walking the path and realize they're not going to make it to the boat, by the time the boat gets there and you pick them up and you meet them for 2 minutes in their life, that's all you're ever going to know them for. Before I drop you off here, if you died today, would you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been saved? Taking those times, taking those minutes, look for those opportunities. Maybe it's only 2 minutes. Maybe it's whatever. But we need to look for those opportunities. Have that question ready. Read it. Read that question through your memory verses as you're going through. May I ask you a question? If you died today, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm sorry. We have influence. They might never see Jesus Christ. They might never open his book, God's word to them. But they're going to see us. What is our influence? We're accountable to a holy God. In a sense, we're accountable to man. Owe no man anything but to love, but owe him nothing. When Paul left, I believe it was the Ephesians, he says, I don't owe you guys anything. I poured my life into you. Owe no man anything but to love. Let's take God's word to the lost. We're accountable before God. mankind needs us. They need us to pray before we get to work. They need us to read our Bibles before we get to work, so that Jesus Christ will be plain to them. You and I are personally accountable to God. We're thankful for the blessings of the United States of America and the freedoms we have, but they're not guaranteed by that government. They're guaranteed by our God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your love, your grace. Lord, we do stand accountable before you. Lord, help us to walk each day that others would see Jesus Christ in and through us. Might someone be saved because of the way we live, because of the way we respond. Lord, let us not turn someone from the way. We pray for this morning's services, the junior churches, again, that your Holy Spirit would work. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.